Playback TV, this upcoming Friday, I will be live streaming the Memphis Grizzlies against the Los Angeles Clippers. It should be a fun matchup, man. Hey, 12 is back, man. John Morant's been on a tear since he came back. I know people saw the game winner that he put up against New Orleans. And then on top of that, the Clippers, they're rolling as well, man. You know, after struggling since the Harden trade, they were able to turn things around, and they are in a groove as well. So make sure to tune in with me. It should be a fun one. I'll be talking about the game itself, and then, of course, other things revolving around basketball as a whole. So make sure to tune in. I will leave the link in the description. Should be a fun one, man. Now, without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome back. This is another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your one and only Nick Andre. I'm glad to have you guys tune in with me. Hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. Hope you were able to enjoy yourself and enjoy all the basketball games that took place last night, because I know for a fact that I did. Truth be told, I miss you guys. I know it's been a little over a week since my last episode. Truth be told, I was going to put out two new ones this past week, but you know, I had to give myself a little bit of rest, you know, allow myself to recharge, but luckily I am back. I was going to wait to the top of 2024 to give you guys another episode, but I say, you know what, it's only good for me to leave 2023 out on top, man, and that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. So today, we're going to talk about the G League. We're going to talk about the Winter Showcase that took place in Orlando, Florida for the first time. The previous few years, it was in Las Vegas, but in this year, they decided to have it in Orlando. Shout out to the president of the G League and everybody that's involved. Why is this the Winter Showcase important? It's nearly similar to the NBA in-season tournament, where, you know, all 30 teams, you know, they're fighting, you know, to be able to get into those playoff spots. And then towards the end, you know, there's only a certain amount of teams that are qualified to go for the championship. It's the same thing in this scenario here with the G League, where even though every team was able to play in Orlando, only 8 teams were qualified for the tournament. And the end goal is to get to $100,000. Now, that's big for G League players, because I read an article about a few days ago where they said that the average G League guy makes around $40,000 a year. So to get that extra $100K is big for purely G League guys. I'm not talking about two-way players, because two-way players are a little bit different, you know, because they get some of them get an NBA salary. But for those G League guys who are solely in the G League, you know, that's a really big thing. But it's not also just about the money. You have numerous scouts from different NBA teams that are coming in watching these guys. So this is an opportunity to showcase their value as a player, whether they're an elite scorer or an elite defender, rebounder, or whatever it is. So this is an opportunity to showcase their talent and say, hey, you know, I believe that I am capable of being valuable on an NBA team, and not even just in the NBA. You know, they can get opportunities, you know, in China or in France or wherever it is. So this is just an opportunity for them to showcase their talent and just being able to get to the next level. So that's exactly what took place from December 19th to the 22nd. And it was elite hoops all around. I don't know how many people tuned in, man, but I'm definitely going to be able to recap that for you guys. And I want to talk about some teams that I found really, really impressive throughout the Winter Showcase. First, I'll talk about the College Park Skyhawks, which is an affiliate of the Atlanta Hawks. I love the way that this team plays. And one thing that stood out to me is that they really know how to fight through adversity. And when they played against the Mad Ants in the semifinals, they were down 87-70 with like halfway through the fourth quarter. So it really looked as if the Mad Ants were about to run away with that and then make their way to the finals, which they did. But the College Park Skyhawks definitely has something to say. They definitely responded. They elevated their defense. They got physical. They ran their plays. And forcing turnovers led to transition baskets on the other end. And, you know, just continuing to be locked in on the defensive end, that was the way that they got back into the game, and which ultimately forced overtime. Seth Lundy had a monster performance in this game. He had 32 points. I think he had like 27, 28 in the first half. So not as strong of a second half, but just being able to set the tone for the team in the first half was really, really impressive. And then other guys that I found really impressive as well. Keaton Wallace had a monster dunk towards the end of regulation. And then, of course, Brandon Randolph as well was a guy that I've been really, really impressed with. That's a guy who wreaks havoc on that's a guy who really, really wreaks havoc on defense. Like, people need to be in tune with what Brandon Randolph brings to the table on the defensive end. But, you know, the game ended up going into overtime. And unfortunately, you know, the Skyhawks did end up losing the game. But even though they lost this game, you know, there's something that stood out to me, man. It's that, you know, how this team responds to adversity, man. And, you know, for them to be able to fight back against the best team of the G League and just being able to force overtime, man, which is really, really impressive. They had a good game in the first game against the Ontario Clippers. And that momentum kind of transitioned into that next game against the Mad Ants. So this is a team, the Skyhawks, this is a team that I think people should really, really be impressed with and people should really keep an eye on as the G League season progresses, because I don't know where the experts may have the Skyhawks on their radar, but I definitely believe that this is a team that can only continue to improve moving forward as the season progresses. Another team I want to talk about is the Motor City Crews, which is an affiliate of the Detroit Pistons. I love this team. They had a really, really good first game against the Santa Cruz Warriors. Unfortunately, they ended up losing that game. But one thing that stood out to me, or two things actually, man, two guys that I really, really enjoyed watching was, first, Jared Rhodes. I love watching his development as a three-level scorer, and he showed that in this game. I think he had like 33 in this matchup against the Warriors. And then another guy as well is Xavier Simpson. He was tremendous as well. But Jared Rhodes in particular, man, you know, that's a guy, man. That's a guy that can really, really be valuable on an NBA team moving forward. Man, I don't know if he can really blossom as a number one or number two option, but you know, with his shooting, with his ability to take pressure off of other guys and just being able to find his way to the basket, score in the mid-range, being able to shoot efficiently beyond the three-point line is really, really impressive. So that's a guy that people also need to keep their eye on as well. And then other guys contributed as well. Nathan Knight, who was a really good pickup for them. I don't know if you can consider Nathan Knight a veteran at this point, but, you know, he's been around. You know, he played for the Hawks for a little bit. I want to say he played for another team. I want to say he played for the Clippers as well, but I'm not 100% sure. But I definitely know that he played for the Hawks at one point, both G League and NBA, and he definitely did leave an impact. But that's another guy. I think he had like 20 points off the bench. And then, of course, other guys as well. Buddy Boeheimer came in and knocked down a couple of three-pointers down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And then David Nwaba and others. I like Motor City. I think that they're still a team that can still figure out ways to get better and really elevate themselves as, like, true contenders in the G League. But, you know, this team, you know, with the way that they play, especially on defense, you know, being able to run zone coverage and really being able to slow down teams is really, really impressive. So, you know, that's another team that people need to keep their eye on as well. And another team, the last team that I want to talk about before I get into the championship game, is the Santa Cruz Warriors. This is another team I love as well. And it's not me being biased because I'm a Golden State Warriors fan. Oh, so yeah, Nick, you got to go for the Santa Cruz Warriors. No, it's not necessarily me being biased, but what they were able to show in the first two rounds of the G League tournament was really, really impressive. Lester Quiñones, I want to say I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. I love what he was able to do. He averaged 23 points a game throughout those two games that they played. And then, of course, if you've been following me, you know how I feel about Kendrick Davis. You know, I was a fan of his last year when he played in Memphis. And he's been able to carry that over into the G League as well. He averaged 18 points a game during the winter showcase. Then other guys as well like that. And that's the thing about the Warriors is that they have a really good supporting cast. Like Jerome Robinson had 27 points in that game against the Motor City Crews, which is that was a huge boost off the bench for them. Like if he didn't score those 27, like who knows what position that they would have been in. But they ended up losing to the Knicks in the semifinal matchup. And give credit to them because they had to fight through adversity as well. They were down big in the first half. And they were down 13 going into halftime. But then they made a nice run at the start of the third quarter to find their way back into the game. Actually, it's funny because Donovan Williams had hit a big three in the corner to cut the lead down to three. But I feel like what changed in that matchup was when Kendrick Davis picked up his fourth foul. And because he was going in a back and forth with Brandon Goodwin as well. You know, that was a really good matchup. But once Kendrick Davis went down or had to go out with his fourth foul, I think the momentum changed for the Warriors. And then next, you know, the Knicks ended up finding their momentum. They ended up knocking down shots from beyond the arc. And, you know, they just kept running away with it, man. But overall, that game was real chippy. I wouldn't say it was real chippy, but it was real physical. But that's what you want, man, especially when you're playing in front of so many scouts. And it's like I say, you know, this is bigger than just that 100K. You know, this is like, this could be your future right here. So, you know, for both of these teams to be able to bring it on both ends of the court and be able to play physical and not allow one to get the edge over another, that was really, really impressive. But unfortunately, like I said, you know, the Kendrick Davis foul did change momentum for the team in that game against the Knicks, and that was the reason why they ended up losing the game. But this Santa Cruz Warriors team is good, man. I love the way they play on offense. You know, they move the ball tremendously. They have some great scores on the team, man. And this team is only going to – this is another team that's only going to get better as the season does progress. So that's another team to look out for is the Warriors. They got some really good guys on the team, man, and I'm excited for what's ahead for them. And lastly, let's talk about the championship game that took place with the Indiana Mad Ants and the Westchester Knicks. This was a fun one, man, and I was really going back and forth leading up to the game. And one thing that I told myself was this game is going to have to come down to championship or just, you know, just experience as a whole. For the Mad Ants, they got a great supporting cast. They got Elfrid Payton, who is a point guard. And I'm going to say for myself, I've learned to give Elfrid Payton his respects because even in his earlier career, especially when he was playing for Orlando, I wasn't necessarily like the biggest fan of his. And I was questioning, like, yo, how is this guy continuing to get on roster spots? But the one thing that I have to respect is that, you know, he may not be the most efficient scorer, but he's a great playmaker. And on top of that, he could put pressure on the defense and get into the basket. So Elfrid Payton is the starting point guard for the Indiana Mad Ants, and he definitely made his impact throughout this winter showcase. Another guy as well is Jordan Bell, who many people know played for the Warriors. He won a championship with the Warriors. And it was really interesting to see how he was the closing center in the closing lineups for the Mad Ants, because I'm sure, you know, and look, don't get me wrong, like Oscar Tshiebwe played really, really well, but I think having a guy like Jordan Brown being that five man in the closing lineup, it adds more versatility to the defense because he's able to switch effectively 1 through 5. You know, he's a great rim protector. He's very athletic. He may not have a lot of offense, but you can run some pick and roll with him. You know, you could throw some lobs to him and everything. So Jordan Bell is definitely a guy that I thought, you know, could be a big difference maker in this game. And he definitely did have a good game as well. For the Knicks, obviously Brandon Goodwin is the guy. You know, he averaged 30 points a game throughout the first two games and was just flat out incredible. But it's not just his scoring, it was really his playmaking as well, especially in this matchup as well, going up against the Mad Ants. But another guy that I was really, really impressed with was Charlie Brown Jr., who just played flat out incredible. Like that's a guy, and he has experience as well because he ended up like he's a G League champion, so he understands how to win at an elite level. And, you know, having a guy like that on your team really does help, especially when you're in that championship game, especially when you are on the highest stage. You know, he's a guy who can get after it on defense. He can knock down shots. He can get to the basket. And, like, he's just a really good all-around player. So that was the thing that took place for me was it really had to come to experience in this game for whoever would be the winner. Now, the Knicks, they ended up getting out to a 14-4 lead. They ended up, you know, getting off to a hot start. The Mad Ants ended up responding. They ended up leading after one. And I'll be real, it looked like they were running away with it, like, throughout the second quarter. And that's the thing, because when the Mad Ants are in transition, like, they are hard to stop because they have tremendous size and they have very great athleticism, like a guy like Kendall Brown, a guy like Jairus Walker, a guy like Isaiah Wong. So it's like when they're running in transition, they are hard to stop, but you got to give credit to the Knicks, man. You have to give credit to the Knicks for being able to adjust defensively, being able to slow down those drives because Indiana didn't really get most of the points from the perimeter. It was mostly in transition. It was mostly getting backdoor cuts, and it was mostly, you know, just being able to score inside. So that was really the bread and butter was getting to the basket. In Westchester, they were able to close off those driving lanes. They were able to protect the paint. And that was really what helped him get back into the game. So that third quarter was huge for the Knicks, man. And then on top of that, man, you know, they like their supporting cast was just tremendous, man. Like I already mentioned Charlie Brown, but you talk about a Dylan Windler who was able to knock down shots. You talk about an Isaiah Roby who had a tremendous all-around game. I think he had like 19-7 or something like that. So like it was a great all-around performance for the Knicks overall. And then in the end, it was them that came out on top. And it was, like I said, it was really just them being able to adjust defensively, being able to get physical with them, being able to close off like easy looks inside for high percentage shots. And, you know, it's the reason why they came out on top. It's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first time in my life and in a lot of people's lives we are able to witness a Knicks team win a title. You know what I'm saying? Because the New York Knicks, they haven't won a championship since 1973. And for this to take place, I know that it's not like an actual like championship, but this is something to celebrate, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that Knicks fans should appreciate this. I know that it's a G League, but people need to appreciate this, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this is a damn good team. Brandon Goodwin is a damn good player. And when you talk about his journey, you know, dealing with his injury, you know, back probably about like nearly 2 years ago, and then him just being able to come back and just being able to shine on the highest stage, you know, that was the really, really big thing, man. So, you know, shout out to the Knicks, you know, for making those adjustments, for being able to lock in and just being able to finish the job. Because I'll be real, myself, I have the mad ass winning, you know, especially with how well they played in the first two rounds against the Capital City Go-Go. And then, of course, the Skyhawks as well. I was looking like, man, like, there's nobody that can beat this team. Yeah, they got so much versatility. They got tremendous size. There's nobody that can beat this team. But, hey, the Westchester Knicks responded, man. So, like I said, shout out to the Knicks, man, you know, being able to win a showcase championship. And, you know, let's see how it helps them out moving forward, you know, as the season progresses. Some other G League games that I want to shine that may have not been a part of the championship series that I want to highlight. Shout out to Quaigon Smith and Darius Bazley combined for 83 points for the Delaware Bluecoats, which is crazy. They ended up winning that game 133-129 over the Texas Legends. Just a tremendous all-around performance. Shout out to Andrew Funk for the Grand Rapids Gold. He had 22 points in a 103-87 win over the Windy City Bulls. And then Terrence Davis for the Rip City Remix had 25 points in a win over the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. Like I said, a lot of high-level hoops in the G League, man. I think people need to be in tune because these are guys who are hungry. These are guys who are on the rise. They're playing for something. And, you know, they're like the intensity level in the G League is just really, really incredible, man. So that's just my advice for anybody who may be looking to tune into them, who may not know much about them. I know that there's a lot of experts out there, but for those who, you know, are looking to get into them, man, I would highly recommend watching them, man. I mean, you may not be able to watch every game every week, but, you know, like, you know, they play games on NBA TV on Sundays. You know, that's an opportunity to watch. I mean, I know that there's also NBA games that take place on Sunday afternoons, but if you're able to tap into those G League games, man, I would highly, highly recommend it, man. But that's all going to be for the show. Like I said, shout out to the G League Winter Showcase. It was a success this year, and I can't wait to see what takes place next year. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. I really, really appreciate it, man. I'm just trying to find my groove. After missing a week, and I had to leave 2023 off on a good note, man. So 2024, we got some big things for this show. I'm looking to drop potentially three, definitely two episodes a week is a guarantee, and then an occasional three, which possibly will take place on a weekend, but make sure to tune in, man. I got a lot of content rolling. I got a lot of ideas, and I'm going to definitely be bringing on a lot of dope guests that you guys will be excited about, man. But make sure to follow me on X or Twitter at Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to follow For the Love of the Game at Love the TGB Ball. And make sure to subscribe everywhere that you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas, and I hope y'all have a Happy New Year. And until next time, you guys, deuces.